Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Raven Radio. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth. What is not with this is our intro music again, Blog Talk.
Yes. I have no control over that when it's supposed to auto start when it comes.
I still vote that Mandy sings whenever it doesn't come on.
It's
who's
in our best
me?
Interest. I'm not. Yeah.
But it's for my own personal amusement that you do.
Yes. Oh, my. So, Michelle, did you have anything exciting happen this week? Anything fun?
Oh, I have something very important to say.
Yes.
Today is Wednesday, June 25th, 2008. Thank you for joining us. What?
Nothing.
Did I have anything exciting? I did. The pretty, pretty pink princess shoes visited me.
They did.
And we might have had a party. There might have been some joining of the very important cause, GLF, which, for those of you who don't know, is the Garden Gnome Liberation Front, and they're fighting oppressive gardening by liberating gnomes. There were tattoos involved. I think the shoes are ready to leave.
So, yeah, the shoes had a wild party, got drunk, went skinny dipping, got tattooed, woke up in bushes with a yard gnome.
It was the Liberation Front. It was a good cause.
Okay. This is the last time you're left in charge of the shoes.
Yeah. People should really just send me their children.
Yeah.
I would
line up
be
everybody.
An excellent babysitter.
Now they're off to see Allie next, correct? Isn't she the first reader up on the board here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. So if you guys want to see Raven Shoes to visit you, visit ravenhappyhour.com. Follow the links for it and let us know on the forum, and we'll be happy to stick you on there. And, you know, hopefully they'll make their way around and eventually come back to us, and we can see all the great places they've been. And hopefully they don't end up, you know, tattooed again and skinny dipping and waking up with other different gnomes, because then they'd just be slut shoes.
I actually think the shoes are in the other room packing themselves as we speak. For those of you who would like to see the shoes or the pictures and see the adventures they've had so far, you can go to the blog, which is ravenhappyhour.com/ravenblog. There is a slideshow on there right now, so you'll be able to see those. And it's a lot of fun. It's all in good fun. If you'd like to get in on it, like Mandy said, give us a shout. Listeners, we do have an exciting guest today, USA Today bestselling author Yasmin Gail Norn. She writes best-selling paranormal romance, urban fantasy, the Other World series, or some call it the Sisters of the Moon series for Berkeley. She's also written a paranormal mystery series for the Berkeley Prime Crime, and she writes several other things, so I'll let her get into those when she gets here, but we're very excited to have her on. If you have questions for our guest tonight, listeners, you're welcome to call in. The number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, and long-distance charges do apply. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during the broadcast, visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts for Raven Radio. Or if you have questions or comments about future shows or this show, you're welcome to email us directly at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com. Your turn.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I totally zoned while you were doing it. I just totally sounded you out. I did. I'm not even going to lie.
Oh, great.
Oh,
Mandy's
no really
longer with us tonight.
You know what? You know, it's Yasmin's fault. I've got her books in my hand, and I'm, like, you know, skinning through them, and I'm reading, and then I got into what I was reading, and then I wasn't paying attention to what you were saying. So blame her when she comes on.
Yeah.
Totally
you're,
her fault.
You're not supposed to be reading during the broadcast.
You know, I wasn't supposed to, but darn her. But, yeah, it's her fault. I blame the covers, first and foremost, because walking through the store, it's really hard to not, like, notice her awesome covers. And,
oh,
yeah,
I know. They're gorgeous.
Now I have to blame her writing as well. See? She sides
yeah.
with me.
So let's talk about your interesting week. What did you have happen?
I had Bellamia come out.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about Bellamia. Carrigan. That wasn't me.
And then in addition to Bellamia, I spent the day or the evening outside soaking my feet, which hurt, in a tub of water during a thunderstorm with an umbrella and a metal chair. Wish I was kidding people. My feet really hurt. I didn't want to get the floors wet inside, so I went outside since it was raining anyways, but didn't want to get me all wet. Yeah. So I looked like, I don't know, Trailer Patch Mary Poppins.
You know, as your BFF, should I take offense to the fact that you are trying to electrocute yourself on the night you have to talk with me?
No. No, I would never.
I see. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Anyone wanting to apply to be Michelle's BFF, make sure you write in. Now answer the door.
Okay. Hi, welcome to Raven Radio.
Hi, this is Yasmin.
Hi.
Hi.
One of your emails said call at 8 and one said at 8:10, so I decided to compromise.
Oh, that's what's the difference, right?
That would be Mandy. She's often confused.
I'm telling you, I had Yasmin so confused today. God love her for being here.
Were you the one with the time zone problems?
Yeah. That was me. That was totally me. Yep.
Well, I have the same problem, which is why I got very confused.
Now, for anyone out there who doesn't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Well, I'm Yasmin Gallinorn, and I live in Washington State near Seattle. I live with my husband, Samwise, and our four senior kitties, Tara, Miraclaire, Luna, and Keter, not that they care. I've been writing since before I could hold a pencil, and currently I'm writing the best-selling Otherworld series for Berkeley. In the past, I also wrote the Chintz and China series, which were paranormal mysteries, and the Bath and Body books, which was a very short-lived mystery series, and those I wrote for Berkeley Prime Crime. And I wrote Bath and Body books under the name of India Inc. And before that, I wrote 8 metaphysical nonfiction books for Llewellyn and Crossing Press. I'm a shamanic witch. I'm considered an elder in the pagan community. Been in the craft since 1980. And I walk a really eclectic path. I consider my life to be a blend of teacups and tattoos because that pretty much personifies who I am.
Now, I have a question, first and foremost. Do you ever sleep? Because, wow.
I have to apologize for any noise in the background. Baby puppy went a little crazy. Please
okay.
Continue.
I put Tara out of my office so she wouldn't yell and step on the phone. Sleep. I'm getting more sleep now that I found out I have a thyroid problem and I'm on medication, but I've been a chronic insomniac for years, so not much.
Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like it because, my gosh, you have a bunch come out. You just had a new one come out, correct?
Dragon Witch is supposed to hit the stands July 1st. It's hitting early.
Okay.
I also run my website. I also run a blogging group. I also do my MySpace page. I also do my LiveJournal page. And I try to have a life in between there, you know, that is not connected with writing.
And does that work out? Because I find it's really hard to actually find a few minutes for me, if you know what I mean.
I get really grumpy when I'm not writing. So it's not good for me to take too many days off, or I get kind of unpleasant to be around.
So your husband basically sets you down in front of the computer, and he says, here, honey, work, really.
No, I pretty much set myself down because I can usually feel when I'm getting a little too much. And, you know, caffeine helps. I live on caffeine.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Now, like I said, poor Michelle, I was sounding her out during the intro because I have some of your paperbacks in front of me. And I was looking at the back of one, and I opened it up when I started reading. And the next thing I know, she's like, you have anything to say? I'm like, oh, sorry, yes, I'm here. Now,
well,
you
that's
write,
good. That's good.
You write first person, which I love first person.
Oh, I do,
and
too.
I love it when people change up the views. And they also, you know, they go to the next person, and it's first person. And you get that interpersonal feeling from. So now, you know, what prompted you to do that?
My editor, actually.
Really?
The editor that I wrote all the mysteries with and the first Sisters of the Moon book, and then she moved to a different house. And I have a great new editor now, too. But when I got the contract for the first 3 Sisters of the Moon books, or Otherworld books, as it's known by both series names, I thought it was all going to be from Camille's point of view. So I wrote Witchling, and I sent it in, and my editor loved it, and And then I was like, okay, I'm going to start Changeling. And she goes, oh, that's from Delilah's point of view, right? And I went, say what? And so I was kind of flabbergasted, and I just sat there going, what do you mean? And she goes, well, each book is from a different sister's point of view, right? And I was like,
surprise.
Oh. Really? I didn't know that. And she said, oh, yeah, we think it would be great. And I was like, well, I don't know if I can do it, because the concept of it just was, I was not prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And the whole concept of it just freaked me out for a moment, because in my mind, I'd planned the whole series out from Camille's point of view. And she goes, I know you can do it. I think it'd be great. Try it. And I said, okay, I'll try it. And I wrote the first 200 pages of Changeling, and I threw them away. And then I wrote the book, because I found I had been writing Delilah from Camille's point of view. The way I was trying to write her the way Camille saw her, mm-hmm. and that wasn't who Delilah was. And after I got into it, I began to really see how much this would be a fun thing to do, how it would keep the series sort of vibrant and new, because I'm not dealing with the same person each time. And I really got into it. And then Mentally came along, and I was like, whoa, Mentally really speaks loud. Delilah, I had to coax out like a cat. Mentally just came stomping in. And, of course, Camille is right there in the forefront for me. So that's how that came about.
So now, and how many books total are planned for the series right now?
So far, there will be at least 9 books and 1 novella.
Wow.
I'm working on the novella right now, and that will come out in an anthology in January, a few days after Night Huntress. And the anthology is called Inked, and the novella will be called Etched in Silver. And that's the story of when Camille and Trillian first meet back in Otherworld. It's like a prequel. And then, Night Huntress will be book 5, and that comes out in January. Demon Mistress is book 6, and that's already written, and that comes out next June, I believe. June or July, I'm not sure which. And then I'm starting work on book 7 as soon as I finish the novella.
Oh, my gosh.
And right now I'm planning that one. The tentative title, which I really like, is Bone Magic. And that will be back with Camille.
Now we have someone here for you on the line. Hi, welcome to Raven Radio. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Arwen calling from Denver.
Okay. Hi, Arwen.
My question is, how hard was it to make the transition from nonfiction to fiction? I followed your nonfiction books pretty, we'll say, religiously. and I've always enjoyed them, and then I thought, oh, she's writing fiction? Oh, no. And now I follow the other books religiously.
You know, for me, I wrote 7 novels before I ever tried nonfiction. And they're still in the closet. They will stay in the closet. They will be cremated the day I die. So nobody can publish them. And that's what I always wanted to do. I fell into the nonfiction kind of by accident. So for me, the fiction was already there, but I just hadn't honed it. Now, the nonfiction tightened my fiction so much. I mean, I can't tell you how much I learned from writing nonfiction, just in terms of keeping things tight, keeping things succinct, organizing the book. So it was sort of taking up where I'd left off before the nonfiction happened. And the transition, I mean, are you talking about how hard was it to get published in fiction, or?
I guess, yeah, whether the, because there's such a difference between writing nonfiction and fiction in terms of voice, and you can read Tranting, or you can read your fiction and see that there's still you in both books, but there's a difference, I guess.
Actually, the nonfiction was much easier to get published. I lucked out, well, in 2000, It was a really, really bad year. My mother died that fall. At the time, my husband was told he had a terminal condition, which was a misdiagnosis. He's still very happily alive. He had just lost his job due to the dot-com fall-off, and my mother died like a week later. And so it was just horrendous, horrendous time period. Well, about a week after that, we found out that Sam did not have ALS, which they had told him he did. But right then I got my 8th contract for my nonfiction, for Totem Magic. They wanted the book in 6 weeks. I was dealing with all that stress, the stress of dealing with my mom's death, but we needed the money and from the advance, and so I wrote it. You know, I don't remember writing that book. I just came into my office, I sat down, I wrote, I walked out of my office, and it's like a blur, big blur. When I finished Totem Magic and sent it off, I burned out. I burned out so, I mean, it was so strong that I couldn't even think. I couldn't feel. I was numb. And after a few weeks, I realized I still needed to write, but I could not face writing any more nonfiction. That's not what I'd set out to do, and I felt like that was the last straw. Writing this book right after my mom's death, going through all that stress, it's like, I can't do that anymore. I need to do something fun. And so I just sat down at the computer, and I started typing. And I wrote a few pages of something that just came out. I showed it to my husband, and he laughed, and he said, "That's funny, write more." So I wrote some more, and I wrote a couple chapters, and realized I might have something. And I knew an agent at the time. He was a friend. He wasn't someone I was trying to get for an agent. And I sent the chapters to him, and I said, "Will you take a look at this for me?" And he said, "Okay," and he did, and he wrote back going, "I can't believe what a jump your fiction has taken," because I'd sent him my other fiction, and he kept going, no, it's not ready yet. And he said, "I can't believe the jump you've taken with this fiction." And he said, "Here," and he edited it down to one chapter, and he said, write a couple more chapters. So I did, and I sent them to him. And he red-inked them to death and sent them back. So I tightened them up and sent them to him, and he said, "Good, write the goddamn book." So I went off and I wrote the rest of the book. And I sent it to him, and he did me a fantastic favor, which the only way I can repay it is through the help I've given other authors, you know, and trying to critique and stuff. He line-edited my book for me. And he told me why things didn't work. He showed me why the pacing didn't work. And in some, I mean, it was so red with ink, it looked like it was bleeding. And there were some places where he'd say, "She's so stupid here, I don't care if she dies." And then he'd say, "Why?" And I'd go, "Oh, duh, that is stupid. You know, that was a really dumb thing for my character to do. It doesn't fit." And I learned. I didn't take offense to his critiques because I know he's blunt and direct and I love him to pieces, but I learned from what he told me. And I rewrote that book 6 times, and then he said, "I don't represent mysteries," because it was paranormal mystery.
Of course.
So another friend said, "Well, send it to my agent. She likes quirky things." So I sent it to her agent, queried her first, and she said, "Send in 100 pages. Sent it to her. A week later, she called saying, I want to represent you.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, she had me a 3-book contract with Berkeley for the Chintz and China series.
That's awesome. So I have a question that kind of feeds off of Arwen's question for you. The transition in that. Now, how much do you find yourself bringing in what you did for nonfiction into your fiction?
Well, that was always part of my life before I wrote the nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So it's just, ever since I was young, I've been into the paranormal, and I've been, you know, I was psychic when I was a kid. I could hear things that nobody else could hear. I could feel things. And I grew up afraid of it because I grew up very Christian, you know, and was taught that, hey, maybe that's the devil knocking on the door. And at 15, I sort of left that behind, left my faith in that behind. And I started exploring my psychic abilities, and I started studying. So it's been a part of my life since I was a little girl. you know, and it's just a part of my writing. That's why I have so much trouble writing things that are not paranormal in nature. It's like the characters feel blind to me if they don't have other abilities. Now, I can read non-paranormal fiction and enjoy it, but I can't write it.
Right. So it definitely did help to, you know, sort of just kind of lend itself right into urban fantasy for you.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Your life in general, and what you were doing just happened to coincide. See, that's really great. And the story of how you came to be, and I think it's good for authors to hear that, you know, you did go back to the drawing board. You did get, you know, taken back to one chapter. You got red inks. You got this. You got tighter. You took the advice. You went with it. You rolled with it. And now look at where you are.
Yeah, I got my... I wrote 7 novels before the first published book. I got my first contract in 1996 for Trancing the Witch's Wheel. I got my first fiction contract in 2002 for Ghost of a Chance and 2 other books. And I started the urban fantasy series. I started writing it in 2005, I believe.
And look, it's where it's at already.
Wow.
And yeah, now here I am, you know, doing... I always wanted to be a fantasy and science fiction writer, and now I'm doing what I love.
Yeah. Now, where is it that you see the series eventually going?
Oh, good Lord. I can see writing this quite a while because I've started other story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
When the spirit seals are tied up, there will be other things moving along. I can see writing books off of other characters, maybe set in other world. I'd love to write Iris's story sometime. I want to take it as long as it stays exciting and fun and good.
Okay, now will other arcs come in from like past, like the spirit seals and that, for like the Earthside Fae Courts and that, or?
Yeah, that's what I've started opening up with Dragon Witch, is that new story arc with the Earthside Fae Courts. And that will open to a whole big can of worms eventually.
See, now, you know everyone out there is going to be like, tell us more.
Well, it's hard because the whole thing's evolving as I go, too. You know, this world is evolving with each book that I write.
Right.
And I've planned some things ahead, but for the most part, a good share of it is just, it's organically coming to life. And that's kind of exciting, and it's also scary.
I have a question for you. It's just like one writer to another. Are you a pantser, or are you a planner? Do you kind of plot it out?
I prefer organic writer.
You know, I like that. I'm going to use that, too. I'm an organic writer myself.
I really think that fits better. And besides, pantser just sounds kind of like panter, and I don't sit on the phone going...
Well, you know, if you ever need a side job, if, you know, that whole bestseller thing doesn't work out for you anymore, you know.
My name is
900
Andy.
Number.
Yeah. For the mysteries, I had to plot them out in detail. My synopses that I sent to my editor before I'd write the book, because the books were already contracted, they range 6 to 8 single-spaced pages.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was difficult. It did help me, though. It helped me learn how to plot, and it helped me to think things through. These books, I can't do that with. My synopses for these books that I send my editor are about a page and a half, rather nebulous, with just sort of a few highlights that I know are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the book just evolves as I go.
I just have this picture of you going, I have a sister and she's paranormal. I'll see you in 6 months within. Don't fence me in.
That's one thing I love about writing the series is I can go so many places with it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. See, and I love series that rely on families, either brothers or sisters or, you know, and they keep it in there because it's even tighter than that it's a friend or it's a somebody else, it's a coworker. So I really get into that.
Well, really, even though the books are labeled paranormal romance, the main relationship is between the sisters.
Right, right.
And actually, a lot of people have gone, oh, you're ripping off Charmed. And I sit there going, I've never seen an episode of Charmed. I watched 10 minutes of Charmed, excuse me. I'm going back to the whole triple goddess mythos for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see Manoli as the crone because of her experiences she's been through. Camille's the mother, and Delilah's the maiden.
Right. I guess I never really even thought of it that way, too. And it's really interesting for me because I didn't know your background prior to it. And I always get excited when I learn that someone's actual everyday life and everyday lifestyle is being sort of, like, pushed in and flavored up. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's exacerbated in a lot of ways. But basically, I live in for a lot of people, it'd be a very strange lifestyle. In terms of beliefs and just what I do, you know, I'll be talking to someone and I'll be talking about my ritual room and my altars, and they'll look at me like, I'm like, I'm not going to cut your heart out.
Oh, geez. Yeah, we just did a craft here the other day. My boys wanted to do some stuff, so we went out and we found river rocks and we painted runes on them and we made our bags and we did our stuff. And I mean, they just had so much fun, and I put it on my blog and that, and everybody's really good about it. A couple people are like, I'm like, what? Yes, they're channeling demons through runes. Yes, people, I'm sorry, you found us out. You're right. We've got a few in the back room. I've got a demon in an apron. Dinner's done. Woo!
It's amazing, what
people think.
I had to decide whether... Well, I was out already. I mean, I've always been out. I've never hidden my belief system.
Right.
Neither do I just automatically bring it up. That drives me as nuts as someone who has an easy lot. I had to decide how much to really talk about it, like on my blogs and stuff. And then I realized I've got a lot of my nonfiction writers reading me. This is who I am. The urban fantasy audience is generally a little bit different anyway.
Right.
And if someone's really that bothered by it, you know, that's something I can't help, and they'll just have to find another author.
You know, I kind of feel like, too, if they're that bothered by it, they may not even like
they may
your
not
book
even
anyways
like my book.
In the end.
Yeah.
So don't. So that's kind of my attitude, too. I think that you're right. I think there are a lot of really open and accepting readers out there who read the paranormal. And
yeah, there are. And a lot of readers, I mean, I have a number of readers who I know are devout Christians, and the thing is, it's mutual respect, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, the books they're reading from me are fiction. If they want to read my nonfiction, they're going to know that that's my belief system. But I'm not writing my fiction as to represent paganism, to represent, you know, the fact that I'm a witch. I'm writing stories. I'm writing adventures.
Right.
And it just happens to have a whole lot of stuff in it that I may believe in or that I may have drawn on from my life, but it's still been taken into the fiction realm.
Right. And opening it and reading it does not equal you're a witch in the end. Yeah.
That's right.
Got it. Yep. See, you need a motto or a disclaimer on the front. This will not make you pagan. Thanks.
Actually, the disclaimer I've had to put on my website is, these are more urban fantasies. Please do not expect an HEA ending. Because they're labeled paranormal romance. And
right.
There are no happy ever afters in my world. So, I mean,
they're happy for now.
They're happy for now, but I don't believe in the happy ever after myth.
Right.
You know, there's always an after. And if you ever watched the show Into the Woods, you'd see the after in the fairy tales.
You know, I haven't watched that yet. I'm never a big TV person, so I'm never up when people say things about TV. I'm always like, what? Let me Google it.
Oh, if you can rent it, do. Bernadette Peters was in it. It was a Broadway play, and it's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. I think one of my favorite lines out of there is when Prince Charming says, I was raised to be charming, not sincere.
Isn't that the truth? No, Arwen has a thing in the chat. She wants to know about the infertile Selkie.
What about it? What about her?
She says, what about the infertile Selkie?
Well,
what exactly she wanted to know about it.
In Dragon Witch, you'll get a little more information on that.
Okay.
So when you read Dragon Witch, you'll find out more about her. It is a happy ending for her in that case.
Okay. She wants to know if she's going to have her own story.
You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe there will be a novella in the future or a short story that I can write. A lot of this depends on what my publisher lets me write.
So did you hear that? Contact your publisher and demand it. Everyone listening.
I've got a lot of people who want Iris's story.
Yeah. Now, she also wants you to know that as a Charms fan and a witch, she agrees with you that she's surprised that any folks would think that your books were rip-offs of Charmed. She wanted to support you on that.
Well, thank you, Arwen, because that is probably one of the comments that kind of irritates me the most. It's like,
well,
find out first before you make it.
Almost hand in hand, though. People think sisters and witches, oh, wow, it must be Charmed. I mean, to heck with the fact that there have been sisters who are witches for centuries.
Well, not only that, but not two of them aren't witches.
Right.
Manoli's a vampire and Delilah's a werecat, but they're not witches.
Yeah. Well, darn it, how dare you still?
You know who actually,
paranormal.
They're more like than Charmed? The Powerpuff Girls. They are the Powerpuff Girls.
I love it.
Emily is Buttercup. Camille would be Blossom. And Delilah would be Bubbles.
I'm sorry, I have an episode running through my head now, one that my son would not quit watching, who will emphatically deny to all his friends that he watches, you know, or had watched it. Yeah. Now, anyone wanting to call in and talk to Yasmin, it's 646-595-3998, 646-595-3998. You can also go to the website, ravenhappyhour.com, follow the prompts, and you will find the chat room where you can, you know, ask your questions in there, and I'll relay them over to her. And I'm going to pop back into what we were talking about before. I'd like to know what some of your literary influences were.
Oh, probably the biggest one is Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
Ray Bradbury is my overall favorite author. I'm not one for idol worship, but I'd be all fangirl now, Ray Bradbury. I'd probably cry if I got to meet him because his work has meant so much to me over the years. Mm-hmm. His work taught me that prose can sing. Prose can be like music. You know, he knows how to use the language in a way that just takes me away.
Mm-hmm.
Daphne du Maurier, another one. I love her work, especially Rebecca. That's my second favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the brooding gothic influence. Probably
I was
going to
say,
really.
I'm seeing a theme here, but I didn't say. Gee, so you're saying Dr. Seuss is not up there.
No, but...
No shiny, happy people.
Yeah. J.R.R. Tolkien, to a degree. I mean, just his brilliant vision. I love The Lord of the Rings. I don't know how many times I read those books. My very favorite book is Watership Down, which is an epic quest if you really look at it. My ninth grade teacher had me compare Watership Down with The Odyssey, and it was an interesting look into the books. Amy Tan. I love her storytelling.
Yeah, I do too.
And,
I really
you know,
do.
I don't read a lot of literary work because a lot of it just kind of bores me.
Mm-hmm.
But Amy Tan's a storyteller.
Well, you know, and I started one of hers, and I put it down because, like you, I'm not a big literary book fan. And I kind of set it aside, and I thought, you know, it's one of those I'll pick it up and I'll come back to it. Well, then I did pick it up, and I kind of, like, you know, forced myself to sit for a moment. And I got through a chapter or two, and the next thing you know, I'm looking to see what else she has out that I can go buy and read right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's one of those that really does just paints a picture, and she just holds it all the way through.
Oh, and Kenneth Graham, Wind in the Willows. Brilliant, brilliant story.
Yeah.
There are a number of books that affected me throughout my life. In terms of authors in general, it's pretty much Bradbury and Daphne du Maurier and Tolkien and... a few others.
I hear Michelle in the background typing away.
Yes, it's been a mess here. I've had, you know, I wanted to ask questions too, and then the dog decided tonight was not to go crazy. Do what?
I hogged her. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know. You had, well, Mandy had to mute me because of the dogs. So I've been really quiet, but I'm listening.
Now, let's see. You did. You mentioned that you write full-time in that, and you mentioned that you write till you get cranky when you don't do it. So how
mm-hmm.
often do you think, or how many hours do you think you spend a week writing?
50 to 70.
Really?
And that's for writing, promotion, administration, and research.
So you do micro it all still. You handle everything, like you had said.
Actually, I have an assistant now that mm-hmm. that helps me out about 5 hours a week, which is a godsend. But most of it I still end up doing. Oh, I do my own website. My husband codes the website. I design the graphics and the content and do the web design on it.
Which I'm looking at it right now. It's awesome, let me just say.
We just revamped it.
You know, I thought you did because I had been there once when we first, you know, invited you on and that. And then I was on there again, and I'm like, this doesn't look like the same website I was on.
Yeah. But Mandy gets lost easy, so it's okay.
Yeah, I do. I was like, wait, I have the right place, right? No, and you know, I have to tell you, too, your cover art, phenomenal.
My cover artist is phenomenal.
Do you have blackmail pictures on him that we should know about? That if you get,
we can borrow?
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting because when I first got the cover for Witchling, the cover art for Witchling, I looked at that and I almost cried. I was so happy. It's like, you know, we don't get any say in our cover art, really. And
right.
And if you get good cover art, it makes everything so much nicer.
Yeah.
It's really hard to promote a book when you don't like the cover. And so I looked up his name. I looked him up on the net. And I emailed him to say thank you because it was obvious he had read parts of the book, at least, to get a feel for Camille. And so we started writing back and forth, and when it was nearing time for Changeling's cover art to be done, I asked him if he'd like to read excerpts of the book, and ever since then I've been sending him excerpts so he can see, you know, the mood of the book. And I commissioned him to do my Smokey and Maggie posters, and you can find those on my site. And we're doing a cover art contest in my forums right now with the cover of Dragon Witch and two alternative covers. And just, it's been really nice having the ability to talk to him and to actually know that he tries to get the characters right.
Right.
His name's
Mauro. He really has brought them to life on there. There's so many times New York covers, you'll look at it and be like, what were they thinking? There's nothing in this book is like this cover.
Yep.
The essence of it really was. And I have to say that my first anything exposure to you was I was walking through the bookstore. And I'm just walking along, and I'm dragging three boys with me who don't want to be in there at the time. I'm ready to choke everyone involved. I'm at that end of my rope thing, and I'm walking, slam, stop. Like, oh, my gosh, what is that? Oh, my gosh. And then, of course, I'm grabbing it, reading the back of it, reading the blurb, going, okay, I have to have this. So that is how I got hooked on you, was the first cover art. And I have to tell you, my background is in art, so that's why, you know, I see things and I fall in love with it. It's like mini portable paintings. So.
Well, his name is Tony Mauro, and you can find him on MySpace, and his site is Dark Day Productions.
Excellent.
And he's brilliant. In fact, in my forums, I have an interview with him that I did for my blog at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about his process in there.
Now, I'm going to segue into from cover art to body art and the tattoo that she talked about having and your love of tattoos. Now, tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, all my tattoos are spiritually based. They've all come at major transition times in my life. I don't know how many separate ones I have by now because a lot of them run into each other. I've got almost full sleeves on my arms, or, well, more close to it. I mean, pretty much.
You designed your own? Or?
No, actually, I told my artist what I wanted, and he designed it. And I went back and looked at it, and we'd tweak it a little bit, and then he'd do it. He's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Now Michelle's married to a tattoo artist, and they have their own shop in that. And it's kind of neat. So that was neat when I saw that. I thought that related nicely. So
I've probably got about 37 to 40 hours on me.
Oh wow! Now I am not a tattoo person, which is funny because everyone assumes, knowing the M&Ms, that I would be the tattooed one. They always think that. I don't have any yet. Michelle does. She's got a couple. You know, we're not going to tell where. Something like, shut up, Mandy. Mute Mandy.
I was going to say, am I muted?
No. I was telling her that your husband does tattoos and that.
Yeah. Yasmin, I have to apologize for the crazy dog situation here. The cats are being great.
I've been nursing sick kitties the past few weeks, so I understand.
Yeah, well, I have four baby kittens who have adopted me, so they were abandoned in our wood pile. So, yeah, I've been, well, they weren't sick. They were just very little, so I feel you.
Our Luna girl just had major surgery, so we're dealing with getting her well again after that.
How many do you have in total?
Tattoos or cats?
Tattoos, one. You count like my husband. It's just one big tattoo.
Yeah. I mean, I've got one huge tattoo on one of my legs. I've got almost full sleeves and tattoos on my shoulders and a tattoo on my left breast. And I'm not done yet. And as far as cats,
we're four. You've still got room, right?
Well, I'll give you a little tip. Don't marry the artist because you'll never get in.
I don't think my husband would appreciate if I married a tattoo artist.
Don't let him become your artist then.
No, trust me, I wouldn't. He's brilliant with coding, but I don't want him tattooing on my back or body or anywhere.
I used to go into his schedule book and like write Bob, you know, in there to block off some time. He'd find out it was me and he'd schedule over me with walk-ins, yeah.
Now, let's see. You've got this book and this series going on, The Other World, and it's also known as Sisters of the Moon.
Yeah, that was kind of an odd little thing because I originally was calling it Sisters of the Moon series,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason Berkeley decided to call it the Other World series, and by then people already knew it was Sisters of the Moon series, and so it's kind of known by both because it's on Amazon as Sisters of the Moon. A lot of people know it as that, and now...
Right.
You know, so I'm just like, okay, it's both.
Well, I got confused because I'm one of those morons who don't listen fully when someone tells me something. And I'll own it. I know my faults. And I'm going, Sisters of the Moon, I know the Sisters of the Moon. And then I'm like, wait a minute, what's the Other World? Did I miss some? Did I not buy some of her books? Looking around, I'm like, wow, do I feel stupid. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Somebody probably told me that. They were the same, and I just in one ear, out the other. I need a better filtration system to stop things and at least slow them down before they hit out the other side. Oh, my goodness. But these are pretty dark, and there's a lot of violence. There's passion. There's all kinds of stuff in it.
Well, those are the best kind, though, isn't it?
Yeah. There's also a very funny, humorous tone to them. How do you balance it?
It's a natural gift. I didn't know I could write funny. And when I wrote Ghost of a Chance, the first novel that got published,
mm-hmm.
the humor side came out. And I was just like, wait a minute, I don't write funny. I write dark. I was in this mode of, you know, but I want to write dark, important pieces.
Right.
And then I realized that wasn't my voice. My voice was throw it all together in a big stew pot and see what comes out. Humor, violence, sex, you know, put it all together and that's what you get. So
okay, I have a very big picture of you, like Lydia from Beetlejuice sitting in front of a mirror with a veil on going, I'm not funny. I'm picturing
it. Well, you know, when I try to be funny, it doesn't work.
Right.
When I just let it flow, then it happens and sometimes I don't even know I'm being funny. And I'll be like, oh, you think that was funny? Okay. Yeah, for a while I really didn't want to be funny because it didn't fit my image of me. But I think I've just got too much of a twisted sense of humor for it not to be there.
We've got that sardonic thing going, which is really good. I mean, that it lends itself really well to the dark. And
yeah. Yeah, I'm a warped puppy.
Now, Jen in the chat room, she wants to say that she knows you have a playlist for each book. How do you pick the songs for your playlist?
I think of the mood of the book, and then I feel I try to find the songs that fit the mood for me.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I match the songs to the mood of the book, and that's what goes in there. Plus, like with Delilah's books, she's more into classic rock, so her song lists, her playlists will contain more CCR and, you know, Jethro Tull and stuff, and mm-hmm. where Camille's generally into grunge. And oddly enough, Dragon Witch was a lot of Celtic stuff, but I think that's because of the Fae Queens coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I think of the mood, and I listen to the songs, and I'm very responsive to music on a physical level, and when it clicks on that mood in my body, I know that that song needs to go on the playlist.
Right. I totally agree with you. I'm one of those writers who I don't absolutely need the music on, but I can tell you that it definitely is better for me when it's on. And there are playlists that I have that are over 2,000, you know, hours long for each book that I've painstakingly put time in making these. But you know how it is. It fits the mood. It fits the character. It fits the moment.
Right.
And when you need to get mentally back in that scene to work on it, you can flip on that song and boom, you're
the
mentally back.
The minute I
in
hear
this.
The song Lithium Flower, that takes me to mental.
Yes. Oh, see?
No.
I think you and I would get along well, although we'd fight over the music collection. No, it's mine. No, it's mine.
Well, you know, I'm also one of those obsessive. I am slightly OC. I have a bit of obsessive compulsive disorder, and I'm slightly bipolar. My OC I make them work for me. They allow me to listen to a song 20 to 30 times over without getting tired of it.
Yeah.
And that's a really good thing. I've got a door on my office or my husband would go nuts, I think.
Yeah.
Because I will sit there and I'll play, if I need a song for a scene, I will play it over and over and over till I'm done with that scene.
You know, I have to say, this is going to be completely weird for everyone else listening, but you're going to get this. Okay, media player, I love it, but you always have to pull in the song as many times as you need it to replay if you're going to put it in the list.
Yeah.
Winamp, you can set your playlist to automatically repeat that song until you advance it forward.
Oh, way cool.
So you only have to pull the song in one time.
I'm sitting here shaking my head because I'm not a music listener when I write. I start singing with it, and then I'll start typing lyrics. Dancing, it's embarrassing.
I could not write to music before this series.
Yeah.
I could not write to music before this series. And this series just, I don't listen to the music every time I write, but I need it there in case I need it.
Right. It's a wonderful thing to lean on, yeah.
It's a instant trigger.
Wait, don't you love that obnoxious knock?
Oh, that's fun. It makes me think of some haunted house.
Welcome to Raven Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jeremy. Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, Jeremy.
Oh, okay. Hey, Yasmin, what's up?
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing?
You
yes, I bet you do by now. I just called and suddenly it speeds into the radio show and I'm like, didn't even know it was happening. But I wanted to ask you, do you think we'll have any spinoffs that may just deal with Morio and Smokey, especially Smokey? You know how much I love him. And do you see any stories maybe about those secondary characters, not including the sisters in the future?
I don't know. I actually would love to write Iris's story, and that may take
mm-hmm.
an entire book. As far as the men, my problem is writing men first person. The only time I've successfully written men in the first person is when they're psychopathic sociopaths. When I'm writing horror,
yeah.
you know, and neither one of them are really psychopaths, you know. They're kind of scary at times, but I have no idea. If I wrote their stories, it'd probably have to be third person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say never. I'm not going to say it's not in the future. It's something that if it comes, it will come, and I'll do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Smokey's got thousands of years of history there. And,
yep. And thousands of fans now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got his own fan club.
That's
Jeremy. Like.
Well, we have you on the line. What's your favorite book so far, Byer?
My first one, I liked Witchling the best. I liked the first one the best. Because
mm-hmm.
it set the tone, and it was very, one of the things Yasmin's done that's really unusual is you know, there's a million fantasy books out in the world. There's a million and one Forgotten Realms stories, and it's all about trolls and kingdoms and elves and, you know, places like World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy, and that's fun, and that's great, but something you don't generally see is a serious sort of Charmed-like story, and I'm not trying to compare them to Charmed because it's very different, but I'm saying an actual urban fantasy where you have people like you and me living in a world with magic, with dragons, and, you know, you don't see that very often because most people can't execute it very well. And Yasmin actually has done it very, very well. And by the way, Charm sucked. I hated that show with a passion.
Well, you know, I had to make the conscious decision of whether I was going to have them hidden or out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were hidden, nobody else could really know about the magic. Nobody else could see these things. And I really didn't want to deal with that, and I was really tired of, well, let's hide everything in the closet. And so
yeah.
I was just like, you know, we're going to just assume people know they exist and they're here already. Boom. That's where we start. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did because it's so much more fun.
Yes. I'm trying to think of something else to ask.
Oh, no, you're fine. Thank you for calling in, and... yeah, thanks for, you know, the thing and everything else with the witch thing and that, the Charmed, because we're all mocking
mm-hmm.
that.
Do you know Jeremy's been writing to me since he was 14 years old?
13. 13, yeah.
13?
Since I was 13.
13 when you started writing
yes,
to me?
Yes, because I lived in Bad Kreuznach, Germany when my father was stationed. I'm 20 years old now. I'll be 21 in August. I had actually read one of Yasmin's nonfiction books, Embracing the Moon, and I really liked it. So I flipped open the front of the cover, and I found, like, her website. And I wrote her back, and she wrote me back in, like, a bad rash. I've never gone away. And I consider her one of my closest friends.
I consider that I watched him grow up.
Yeah.
Even though we've never met in person.
Nope. We haven't. Well, one day I hope we will.
Oh, you ever get your butt up here.
You come to Kansas.
Uh-oh. Now, are you doing any signings, Yasmin?
I have got a signing at Seattle Mr. Bookshop on July 12th at noon. And one thing about the Seattle Mr. Bookshop, if you call them and pre-order the book, when I am there, I will sign it and they can mail it to you.
Okay.
So if you want a signed copy, you can get it through them. Their
and
link
what
is on my
again?
Site, Seattle okay. Mystery Bookshop.
And
their
can
link
you give your site for people?
Okay. www.galanorn.com, and that's GALENORN. People misspell it all the time.
I mispronounced it. I didn't even want
yeah.
to try to pronounce it.
Yasmin, up until about the last radio show I heard you, because I am her faithful friend, I always call in every show, but on the last show I heard you said, they said Yasmin Galanorn, and I was like, oh, shit, I've been mispronouncing your name for like a decade, because I just called you Gail Norn.
That's how
That's
I pronounce it, too, Jeremy.
Well, you know what really bothers me is when people call me Jasmine. It's Yasmin with a
that
Y.
That doesn't even connect. It's a Y and a J. It's like in two different spots in the alphabet. I don't get that.
Yeah.
But on my site, I have forums. I have links to my blogs. I have links to the Witchy Chicks blogs. And they are a wonderful group of paranormal women writers who I blog with and who have become good friends over the past 2 years. I have links to my discussion list. I now have a Facebook fan page. A lovely lady in Florida has put that together. And there's tons of stuff you can find there.
Okay, and one more time, the next book coming out is what?
Well, Dragon Witch hits the shows technically July 1st.
Right.
That's next week. And after that will be Night Huntress in January.
Okay.
And Dragon Witch is Camille's point of view, and Night Huntress is back to Delilah. And after that will be Demon Mistress, which is Mentally. And it's Mentally, for those people who have written to me to ask. It's pronounced Mentally.
And Arwen's in there saying that she loved Mentally's story, and it touched a part of her heart.
Yeah, a lot of people did. It was very hard for me to write because, you know, I'm pretty open. I had a lot of abuse in my childhood, and I had an abusive ex. And I was raped when I was 17 and molested when I was a kid and beaten up by my ex. And I drew on those experiences for Mentally's story. You know, it was one way to transfer that out of myself and look at it from an objective point of view.
writing is the cheapest form of therapy. I'm convinced of that.
Oh yeah,
I really am.
You know, you gotta use what you have, and make it.
You know, I'm sorry, I forgot to say thank you and goodbye to Jeremy. I'm sorry, Jeremy, I left you hanging there. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I was listening. I was enjoying it.
I thought Jeremy was still on.
I was like, I so felt bad. I got swept up and everything. I'm so sorry.
I'm still talking with it. Thank you, Jeremy.
Oh, you're welcome. I will continue to listen.
Talk to you later, Jeremy.
See you later, Yasmin. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I suck as a hostess. I got so swept up in what you're saying, I totally forgot to watch the switchboard. Oh, but thank you so much for taking time out to join us. I know your schedule is insane with what all you do, and thank you so much to share what you're doing with our readers and our listeners, and you know what? I just have to say, after talking with you, what a great person. Just a great vibe and a great energy
mm-hmm.
comes from you.
I agree.
Thank you. And, you know, I love doing radio. You're not going to catch me on TV, but I love doing radio. To me, it's just a matter of being who I am in my books. You know, I write from the gut. And that seems to work for me, you know, and that's what I would tell aspiring writers out there is write from where you're at. Don't try to be somebody else when you're writing. Don't try to adopt somebody else's style. Just find your own voice because that's where you'll be strongest. Right. And I also tell them, you know, there's no guarantee of success, but I guarantee if you quit, you'll fail.
That's excellent advice. Definitely.
You have a 100% failure rate if you quit or you don't try. So
that's right. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? So somebody says no.
Yeah.
You know, you just try again.
Yeah, especially in this business.
Eventually say yes.
You have to get a thick skin if you're going to be a writer, and you have to be able to take rejection, and you have to be able to be, you know, handle being trashed on blogs and
right.
in reviews and stuff, because it's going to happen no matter
right.
what you write and no matter who you are.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Yasmin.
Thank you for having me. I've really
You're definitely
it.
Invited to come back anytime.
Oh, I'd
yeah.
love to. You know, just let me know when you want me back.
Congratulations on the new release.
Thanks.
All right, then. Thank
okay.
you for joining.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a sweetie.
I know. I was like, what a great author. Just
yeah.
wonderful author, wonderful person, and really mad at my dogs right now that they kept interrupting.
Oh.
But you did a great job covering for me.
Hey, thanks.
Manny
well,
Michelle
thank
you, everybody. You never know what you'll get.
Thank you for joining us. And next week we have on, oh my gosh, I drew an absolute and utter blank. We have a guest.
Next week, July 2nd at 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern, we will have Zena Nguyen and Mary Wine.
Okay.
Authors, and the week after that, Liz Craven and Taryn Blackthorne will be joining us.
Yes, and then at some point we're going to have the head of the American Tarot Society coming on, and she's going to be doing readings for us and talking to us about our books in it. We're excited about that.
So be sure to tune in for your free reading.
Yes.
Freebies are always fun. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you all next week.
Thanks to everyone who called in and to everyone in the chat room, especially Arwen and Jeremy. Thank you very much. All right.